Here's Len Dawson from yesterday's show.
That the defensive back should have done one of two things. It was a fourth down situation. Bat the ball down, or if you catch it, go to the ground yourself. Now, do all defensive guys, Michael, feel that once they intercept or a pass or pick up a fumble, they're going to score?
Exactly.
You know, there were mistakes in that game on Sunday that were not Marty Schottenheimer's fault. There was the mistake of you could say, I suppose, that the player should be disciplined enough to bat the ball down on fourth down. You could say that, I guess, the returner on the punt should be more careful about catching the ball first. You can say that the guy is supposed to keep his cool and not headbutt or not kick somebody after a play that gives a first down and new life to a team. How much of that is Marty Schottenheimer's fault? How much of this is an overreaction that could well spell some major issues for a San Diego team that's so close to taking it to the next level?
Well, the sad part of this, I think, is that the head coach is responsible for the overall conduct and demeanor and intelligence of his football team. Len made a tremendous point in that Marlon McCree, whose excuse for what happened was, I was trying to make a play. You didn't have to make a play. All you had to do was knock the ball down, even if you intercepted.
Knocking the ball down was making a play.
Well, that's all you need to do. And you, otherwise, if you intercept it, you cost your team 20 yards. The rest of that stuff is gravy. You don't need to be running with the ball. There's nothing you needed to do but knock it down, and I guarantee you the Patriots would have done that in that situation. The Patriots would not headbutt a guy after a play. The Patriots don't drop balls the way the Chargers did. There are a lot of things that were wrong in this game. Some of them you can lay on maybe an overall mental preparation, some you can't, but that ill-advised challenge that cost his team a timeout at the end, that's one you can hang on Marty. That's one where, maybe with a more experienced quarterback, you probably have enough time to get 5 to 10 yards closer and make that field goal.
Well, yeah, there are 8 seconds left in the game, and you can drop back and throw the ball away if it's not there. I just think you have to do that. And who on earth was advising Marty? What's the system most teams use to tell the head coach, yeah, we saw it, and we think you should challenge it?
Now, often you get that from up in the press box. They have the coaches upstairs have the best look at the little TV screens or a game feed. But the odd thing about this is that they made such a poor decision at home. On the road, often the team won't put the replay up on the big board, and you don't get that sense. But at home, you get the replay right away, and there was almost nothing there that said, challenge this call.
We're going to have a friend of yours, a colleague of yours, Jarrett Bell, chime in here, talking about another thing that seemed to happen, which was that Patriots offensive line shut down Sean Merriman.
Yeah, it wasn't there. I mean, he didn't have any sacks yesterday. He had a lot of pressure. It was pretty good, consistent pressure. He got some hits on Brady, but, he didn't get a chance to perform that lights-out dance a whole lot yesterday. In fact, I think Mike Vrabel did it more than Merriman did it yesterday.
You know, Larry, we're joined by somebody that knows a lot about the Patriots, Rob Bradford from up there in New England. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we appreciate you and taking the time. The Patriots kind of shut down their players, don't they? The coaches, the players, they're not allowed to say a whole lot. It's sort of like a Stalin-esque gulag situation the first part of the week, isn't it?
Yeah, first part of the week and the last part and the middle part of the week, too. It's, you know, the only time the rookies are allowed to talk in reality is after a game. And even then, you saw Stephen Gostkowski say, basically, you know, everything went well, that's all I'm allowed to say, and if I say more, I'm going to get in trouble. And that's basically how it is. And it is amazing. You talk to all these guys, and you can come at them every different angle, and the guys who do say something, they're saying all the exact things during the week. And I guess you got to give Belichick credit for that, because it's a procedure that's worked throughout his tenure.
And to give Marty credit, that is something that he's pretty good at doing for the most part, with the exception of LT. What do you think about those remarks from LT? I mean, I'd be frustrated too, but the Patriots are not exactly a team that's shown disrespect in the past.
No, I mean, I think that someone around here had brought up a story out of the Providence-Stern Bulletin after the last time San Diego came to Foxborough last year and beat the Patriots, and a lot of the quotes coming from the San Diego Chargers were much more inflammatory than anything that the Patriots did. And I noticed that, you know, the national media and the media in the Boston area kind of taking different tacks on this. But really, if you do look up that story, it's a lot of the same guys who were complaining about the Patriots were the same guys who were talking a lot of trash after the San Diego beat the Patriots up in Foxborough. Now they weren't in press conference settings, but they were quoted people coming off the field in the locker room immediately after the game. And I mean, let's be honest about it. It's an emotional. You guys know it's an emotional game, and stuff like this happens, but. To harp on it right after the game is one thing, but to still keep harping on it the day after is kind of remarkable to me.
Larry Weissman, a few weeks ago you probably would have thought that the Patriots would regret to some degree letting go of Adam Vinatieri, letting him go and seeing, of course, now how well he's done, even before the game on Sunday against the Chargers, you'd wonder. And that's, I think, to some degree what your article, Rob Bradford, was about. What do you think the Patriots feel now, Larry Weissman, about letting go of Adam?
I think they're very satisfied with the rookie kicker, and as a team that's made a point of staying way under the salary cap, it may have been an okay move for them, but this thing's not over. And if it's Adam Vinatieri who puts a knitting needle through their heart in Sunday's game, they may well regret not having him on their roster.
Rob, tell me about the reaction after the game when they found their kicker hitting a 50-yarder, or 34-yarder, or 31-yarder to win the game. It's kind of what we talked about. I felt that that he was ready to have a good game, but now suddenly all those kicks don't matter. Now it's one new season. So you think he's ready for the next step?
But I think he also hit the nail on the head where he said, he'd rather be Steven Gostkowski rather than Nate Keating, because Nate Keating had that memory of the missed 40-yarder against the Jets, and whether that affected him in the 54-yarder, I don't know. But Gostkowski is going flying blind here, and all he knows so far in the playoffs is success. But I will say Larry's right, is that this whole thing with Vinatieri and Gostkowski, we've said all throughout the year with every single kick after the regular season was over, after every playoff game, the ultimate fate of this decision isn't going to be decided until this game. And if Gostkowski misses a game winner or misses a big kick, then unfortunately for him, despite having a great year, it's people are going to have that in the back of their mind. But I think the reaction, a lot of minds were eased by his performance, not only this week, but also in the games against the Jets.
And, it seems as if Adam may be kicking better than he ever has. One reason why I gave him the vote as being the best kicker in the NFL is how well he did in those conditions in New England. Well, he just doesn't miss in Indianapolis.
No, he doesn't. I mean, that was one of the things. Even when he was with the Patriots, he had never missed inside a dome stadium, and I think that's why Indianapolis, on top of his reputation, said, "Well, this guy is definitely worth the money." And I think that in all the salary cap moves that the Patriots made with Willie McGinnis and Deion Branch, the one Vinatieri is the toughest one for people to figure out because it wasn't huge money, but. Going forward, I think it was a longevity issue. I think it was just one of these things where, Adam had some physical problems last year, and they just said, okay, we might have to bite the bullet this year, but going forward, we're going to have a younger, a healthier guy, a guy that we believe in, and a guy we've done our research on. And so far, I'll give them a lot of credit because they identified a guy in the draft, and that kickers, that's not an easy thing to do. It's worked out so far.
Larry Weissman, one of the things that Tom Brady was saying is that he was feeling physically as healthy as he had in years. And you look at the posture he has, the perfect form he has, the great footwork, and it does help to have the offensive line protecting him. But Tom Brady seems to be, with the exception, of course, of a couple interceptions in the game, he still seems to be playing at a high level. Who's your edge in this game?
Well, I think you'd have to be crazy not to like Tom Brady in a big game, simply because he's won them. The other guy has not showed it yet. He's been rattled by different things. I think the standard of expectations has kind of weighed on him, and I guess he's going to be lucky to be at home in this one. But somehow I just cannot escape liking Brady over Peyton Manning.
Sorry about that. Let's go to the specifics of what I think is the challenge and the strength of the Patriots. I love both of your comments on this. What the linemen, here I am a kicker talking about it. Linemen, offensive linemen in particular, do not get the credit when it really is deserved. What is it about, and who are the members? Who are the stars? Who are the heroes? Who are the guys that get it done on that Patriots offensive line that give Tom Brady the time in the last 2-3 minutes of those big games time and time again? Let's talk with Brad first.
Well, you know, I would have to go, obviously, you know, you have, any time you look at giving a guy time, you look at the tackles, and Matt Light and Nick Kazier are the two guys, and neither one of them are perceived as great against a guy like Dwight Freeney. I mean, Matt Light has had all kinds of trouble against speed rushers like him, or like Jason Taylor, but I will say this, is that you come off a San Diego game where that offensive line, as you mentioned before, was just really incredible, and the way that they handled, whether it was schemes or whether it was just performance, I mean, they're really on their game. You go back to the game in Miami where they got manhandled by Taylor and that whole offensive line. Since then, they've been very good, and I think as a unit, they're a pretty good unit right now with Logan Mankins, the number one draft pick. You have Dan Cope in the center, who's a solid on the verge of being a Pro Bowler. You know, I think that they're playing pretty well, and they have a talent which I think bodes. I think going into this game, they might have to feel pretty good about themselves.
Larry Weissman, what about Dwight Freeney and the havoc that he wreaked against, certainly against the Chiefs, and his consistency? There are those that think that the Colts will have an advantage in the matchups at tackle. What do you think?
I think that Freeney had a tough time with Matt Light the last time around, but you always have to account for him, and you very rarely can block him with one guy. So to the extent that other guys take advantage of that, that's also a plus in having a player of Dwight's capabilities.
Larry, tell me, what article are you going to be focusing on this week that we'll be looking for in USA Today?
You know, I don't do preview stuff. I think you should spend 75 cents every day and buy the paper every day till Friday.
Well, thanks for joining us, buddy, and hopefully we'll see you next week and do the post-view of the game.
Okay, sure, Nick.
Rob Bradford, appreciate it. Maybe you can chime in with us next week and talk about that kicking matchup and more on Monday or Tuesday. We'd appreciate it.
All right, a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, sir. When we come back, final thoughts on head games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.